Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on June 7th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just
The that. South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, other than the June gloom, you know.
Yes, I know.
It affects you emotionally. This gray,
right.
Day in, day
right.
out. The sun didn't come out at my house at all yesterday. The day before, I think it broke through about 6:30 at night. And you can only take so much of it. So JB and I decamped to Palm Springs this weekend for 3 days. And had some nice hot sun, 104, 106. It was just what I needed.
Okay. All right. You got your vitamin D. You're not depressed anymore.
You know, it's so funny. I take vitamin D twice a day. Went to see my doctor a few months ago, and she said, you're a little low on vitamin D. I want you to take one twice a day. I think it's 3,000 milligrams or something. So I regularly take them twice a day. And when we left for Palm Springs, I was looking at my jar of vitamin D and I said, oh, you can stay here for the weekend. So yeah. And then when I came home, I started taking it again. So, but it's nice. It's always nice to get away for a couple of days and then get back to the routine. But speaking of something I wanted to mention, I don't know if you've been there yet, but the annual CA 101 art exhibition.
Right, haven't been there yet.
It opened on Friday. Opening night reception was Friday. I went. You know, this event has become a real part of the community. I mean, the place was packed Friday night. It was amazing. They're using the space over at the former Denny's Furniture on Avenue I in Riviera Village. And it's so funny because I've been in Denny's and I didn't know it was that big. It's 10,000 square feet. It's
wow.
a huge space. Yeah, it's a huge space. And of course, Nina Zakladen and Sandra Liljenwall do an incredible job every year of pulling together all up and down California, and South Bay artists are always really well represented, you know. So if you haven't been there yet, it runs through June 11th, and so you got to get down to see it. You got to get down to see it. It's really terrific. A lot of great art. Yeah.
Thank you, Jackie. I really, really appreciate that because I definitely want to make it.
Yeah, it's that they always every year they it gets better and better and better. It's just it's a really great event. And it's so funny.
Right.
Everybody was there. You know, it was one of those events where I rode my bike down. And once I got in the vicinity, I had to stop my bike like every 10 seconds because there were just people walking in the streets and getting out of cars and literally I just kept seeing people I knew and having to stop and say hi, and people were coming and going. It was very, very cool. Very cool.
Right. Wow. Exciting. Okay. You know, it's amazing, Jackie. We've been doing this podcast for 6 years, almost 6 years now. And I think that the rest of the South Bay is catching up with us. We know there's a lot of technology-based media focused, hyper-focused on the South Bay. Of course, the South Bay, including, SpaceX, which is in Hawthorne, and Torrance. So it's if you include those constellations of force, there's a lot going on in the South Bay, globally visible, you know, SpaceX and so forth. And now finally we're going to be talking about, you know, the rise of media for small to medium-sized businesses, even a one-person professional office where you have a home office. You have access to this powerful digital media technology through a company, an organization that you're quite familiar with, don't you? And we're going to talk about that today.
Yes, we
I'm
are.
excited. I'm excited. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Dina Knight, Multimedia Senior Account Executive for the Daily Breeze and Southern California News Group. Now, Dina is a 14-year resident of Redondo Beach, but is originally from a small town in Iowa. She has 18 years of experience in print and digital media sales and is active in several South Bay chapters of South Bay Chambers of Commerce and local community nonprofit groups. Dina is also a part-time singer and personal trainer, and plays on the beach whenever possible. So this morning, we're going to discuss the broader world of the news. Welcome to the program, Deanna. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I have to say, Dina, that this is a it's been a long time coming, and it kind of needed a strong hand to do some consolidation. Now, of course, most people know the Daily Breeze in the South Bay, but it's not just the Daily Breeze anymore. It's the Southern California News Group. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course, yeah. It's a little bit of a misconception that, you know, there's somebody wearing a crank and we're printing the Daily Breeze across the street and a little paper boy on a bike is taking the papers out. It's a little more than that these days. We've been a chamber member, by the way, for over 100 years. We've been in South Bay for over 120 years as the newspaper itself, bringing the daily news to the South Bay from Marina Del Rey all the way down through San Pedro has been, you know, a staple every single day for all those years. But we also understand that people now take their media in different forms, on your tablet, your mobile device, on your phone. I mean, even older people. I got my mom an email address, and she gets all of her news on her tablet now. One of the biggest things that we had to share was 3 years ago we won the Pulitzer Prize, and last year we acquired the Orange County Register and the Riverside Press Enterprise to add to our already large newspaper group. We're now one of the largest in the country with 11 daily newspapers in Southern California and several weeklies. So that's a lot.
Can I just want to go through this list because some people just have no clue how large the Southern California News Group has grown to. It's the LA Daily News,
correct,
the Daily Breeze, the Press Telegram, the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, the Pasadena Star News, the Whittier Daily News, the Sun, the Daily Bulletin, Redlands. I'm sorry?
The Sun is in San Bernardino.
The Sun in San Bernardino, the Daily Bulletin, the Redlands Daily Facts, the OC Register, and that's just huge. And then the Press Enterprise, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When and how, can you give us a little history of this? Because you've been working for the group for several years. Give us a little history of how this occurred and what the mission of the Southern California News Group is. And then we're going to talk about specifically, you're in the multimedia digital group. We want to talk about that.
Okay. Daily Breeze, as you know, has been around forever, and at one point were owned by the Copley Group. And I believe in 2008, our company, Digital First Media, began and took over those operations, which were all those papers besides the Orange County Register and the Press Enterprise, which was last year. They were having struggling problems, financial problems, you know, a lot of wrong-sided, top-heavy, just a lot of issues, and they were really hurting for a bailout. And so there was a big kind of a war between us and LA Times to win that property over so we could take on those resources, those people, all those people that worked in the newspaper industry that had so much talent, but the management wasn't there and the money wasn't there, so we acquired it. And it's been great having those new partners. Now we can share all the way across, you know, all the papers, and be able to sell into and use the news and use, you know, all those resources to help us as well. And now they have us to spread into, especially companies that can do multi-location or they're trying to reach a broader audience. They now can do that easily on one account as opposed to trying to, you know, go all over the place to get their message out. And that's huge and important. And we have new friends, new partners. We had a giant rally last year where all the employees from all the papers met at the Rose Bowl and had a really good get-to-know-you, meet the press, meet your people who you've only talked to by email before party. It was really, really nice. And so it's just a bigger family now, and it's much easier to see that you can – Southern California is a family. It really just is. And now we can kind of reach out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so Southern California News Group was the name we gave, which was formerly Los Angeles Newspaper Group, but we wanted to include Orange County and Inland Empire Partners. So with that being said, we have been doing the digital media side of it for several years, and it's just now starting to be really prevalent that that's the way people get their news and information. How many times have you served ads on Facebook or social media, or served ads on your Instagram or on your phone, or when you, oh, yeah, that's right, I was looking for shoes, and there's an ad for shoes right next to your information. That's us. We do that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own internal digital ad agency we call Ad Taxi. And basically that's any type of digital media that you've seen on any form, on any platform, we can provide that for you now. So the biggest challenge I have is it's a double-edged sword. So being the newspaper for all these years, we have an identity, which is awesome. You know, everybody knows the Daily Breeze. Everybody knows the Long Beach Press Telegram. Everybody knows these things. But they think of it as just the paper. So when I go out to clients, small to medium businesses throughout the South Bay, or actually now I can go nationally if I wanted to. I try to explain to people, look, what are your needs? Who's your target audience? Who are you trying to reach? What's your message? I take all that back and figure out the best custom solution for them. It may include some newspaper. It may include some text messaging. It may include some display advertising. It may include custom email blasts to those people. And we can specifically hit those targets of people. And so it's so hard to switch people's brain from, oh, yeah, you just do the newspaper. And now it's so much more. I can reach just about anybody you're trying to reach. I have several large accounts in the South Bay. I have several teeny tiny accounts in the South Bay. And each one requires a different method to reach their audience. And that's the whole point. If you want to talk to somebody, tell me who that is, and I'll tell you how to get there.
Right. Right. So I want people to watching or listening, excuse me, listening to this show, to understand that as a small business person, in the context of the Redondo Beach Chamber, you should be looking at your entire advertising footprint. And, of course, sometimes print is appropriate, sometimes digital is appropriate, sometimes the combination is appropriate. And if you go to Digital First Media, and the name says it all, digitalfirstmedia.com, you can really look at the whole picture and see how print and digital can fit together to accomplish your advertising goals. Or you can just call Dina Knight, right?
Yes, and you can. And if I can't help you or if it's a department that I can't handle, I can definitely point you in the right direction. In our Daily Breeze offices at Hawthorne and Torrance, we have several different categories of business. Most of us multimedia account executives can handle any vertical, but we also have a specific real estate department. We have a specific automotive department. We have a specific department for classifieds, like obituaries and those type of things. So we can handle just about anything that you need to, you know, take care of.
Right.
Digital First Media is, like you said, there for everyone. There's not an account that's too small. There's not an account that's too large. We have a nationals division. We have a majors division. So there's just about, you know, everything you need to get your business where you need to go. But you have to talk to someone. You have to sit down and consult. And I do free consultations all day long. I'll come to you, meet you at Starbucks if it's a home business, whatever. And we sit down and go over everything. And I don't steer anybody in the wrong direction. That's kind of, if I have a claim to fame, if I can pat myself on the back at all, my reputation is that I won't take your money if there's nothing I can do for you. Or if you don't have the budget for what you need, we'll wait till you get there. Or if you need to start small and incrementally add on to that as you see the value, you know, as you start to get your clientele,
right,
or your customers,
right,
or whatever it is you're
right
looking for, we'll do that for you. It's not a problem whatsoever.
I've been doing a lot of, over the years, Dina, I've been doing a lot of Facebook advertising, and I've gotten good at finding my niche, what things work for me and don't work for me. Tell me, let's do this. Give me a scenario. I'll give you a scenario, and you tell me what a decent budget would be and what kind of mix of media that you would like to see that particular business person get involved with. I'm a small business. I'm home-based business. Perhaps I'm a professional. Maybe I'm a web designer, or I'm a photographer. I do weddings, and or I'm a DJ. We just had an expert DJ come in on the show, and you know, I work out of my home, and I have several clients, and yet I don't have an office. What kind of a budget do I need? And what kinds of a mix of media are there available for me under and in that budget?
And that's exactly my point. So in that scenario, you named several different types of businesses, and each one of those would be completely different. So what we do suggest is that we sit down and talk about it. We do have tools and resources that your basic, you know, company won't have, that we can actually take your website, analyze it, take what you're currently doing, look at your Google Analytics, see where your traffic is currently coming from, talk to you about other forms of media that you're using, put all that in a bucket, and then we look at the industry standard with these tools of what you should be spending based on your competition, based on how, you know, how heavily competitive your category of business is, based on how many businesses like yours are in the area. There's a lot of components that go into it. It's not just, hey, let's throw $1,000 at Facebook and life will be great. It's not like that at all. So that's why we seriously sit down, and I don't quote any money over the phone. We don't quote any rates until I see what we're working with. It may be very, very simple. We have I have accounts that run one newspaper ad a week and, you know, $1,000 on Facebook. Then I have people who run that $5,000-$6,000, you know, regularly and add to it incrementally. Depends on who you are, what's happening in your type of business. The only thing I can say as far as the digital print mix is that our newspaper audience, the demographic is really, really in the older side. It's headed towards 55, 60 now. So we have a lot of print advertisers who do really well in a newspaper because they have products that our seniors really are interested in, a lot of our hearing aid companies and these health seminars and, you know, anything to do with dentures or those type of ads still work really well for these people who aren't comfortable with going online or people who aren't, you know, savvy with, you know, the tablet or whatever. But the other side of it is any businesses that are targeting a age category under 55 definitely need some type of digital media in their mix. Even Facebook's demographics going up quite a bit recently. And speaking of Facebook, you said you've been buying ads on Facebook lately. Something mm-hmm. that also people don't realize is that we're a channel partner, one of five channel partners with Facebook due to one of our innovative algorithms that we've created within our company, our ad taxi company. And we've gotten several awards for it. We just received one this week. But we are a channel partner, which means that we're going to be able to use your Facebook dollars more efficiently and get you more for your dollar than you would if you were to go in and do boost posts or buy Facebook ads on, you know, on your own. It's easy to do, but the type of return that you're going to get is not going to be as clean or pure or targeted mm-hmm. as we can get for you if we use part of your program towards social media campaigns. So that's good to know as well. Same thing with Google. We are Google Premier Partner, one of 30 in the world.
Right.
So
right.
when you go
wow.
to Google AdWords, you're not going to get the same exchange rate that you're going to get when you go through us.
Right. This is the thing about media. Media will, from this day forward, be a mix of print and digital. You know, print is not going away, but digital first is the way of the world now. And the name of your organization, Digital First Media, that's the way the world works now. You have to think about digital first. You know, Dina, I know it sounds crazy, but you know there are still businesses that don't even have a website?
Yes. Yes.
What do you do?
What do you
say when you meet that business?
I deal with it every day. It's delicate. There's two ways to deal with it. You have your companies who don't have a website or a really old, antiquated website, and they're struggling, and you're trying to sell them digital media, and sometimes it's hard, but you just have to walk away from that because a lot of those people are not willing to change. They don't feel that it's worthwhile at this point in their career. They might as well retire before they have to learn something new.
They just want to know, Dina, they just want to know if you do radio advertising. That's what they want to know.
Right? I don't do radio. I do everything but. But I'll tell you this. We had a seminar yesterday, and one of the things we learned is that social media advertising has now caught up neck and neck with television advertising, believe it or not. And so getting to people wherever they are, you know, is huge. And like you said, with these people without websites, it's a challenge. Sometimes I refer out to some of our local channel partners. Or actually, this is a point where the Redondo Beach Chamber comes into play. We do a lot of referrals within the Redondo Beach Chamber. Let me step back and take a minute and appreciate who we're, you know, doing this for.
Yeah.
As a chamber member, I've been an ambassador for on and off for 13 years or so with the chamber. And I can say that a good 45-50% of my business comes from being involved in the chamber. Not necessarily directly because I was at a networking event last week, but because people remember me, or I've spoken at panels or seminars, or I've been at the network cafes, or I've been at the mixers and they remember me. I've handed out my card, or I gave in a donation auction item that had my, you know, my collateral inside, or somebody within the group goes, "Oh, I know a girl," and sent them to me. I've gotten referrals from 3 years ago where someone sent them to me because they once saw me at something or heard me speak, and that is just huge. So I stay involved because having your pulse on what's happening in the community, having the pulse on knowing what's going on, who's opening, who's new, who needs help, hand-holding as an ambassador, taking a shy or new chamber member out and helping them get, you know, integrated into the community is huge. And those things come back to you. And one of the things is partners. So if there's a partner who does website, a partner who, you know, education, or any of those things that can help that small business, I may step away from that and say, "You're not quite ready yet. Here's what you need to do. Here's one of my chamber partners you need to speak to in order to get to the next level. Call me when you get there, then I'll come back and help you with your media." That happens
right.
4 times out of 5. The other times, sometimes we can get around it. Sometimes it's a matter of getting some of their younger employees involved, or, you know, or their children involved to help them get to where they need to go. And building a website isn't that hard if it's something that you do or something that, you know, you're around. These kids do it. They've been swiping left and right and, you know, and clicking on things since the womb, you know, so it's a little harder for some of us. I mean, I'm 51 this year, and yeah. My granddaughter, I swear to God, she unlocks my stuff. She gets my passwords reset, you know, and it's just the generation we're in, and I'm lucky enough to be at a place where I can straddle both sides of it. I'm fully functional digital at home, two smart TVs, you know, smartphone, iPad, a brand new, you know, laptop, and I'm able to know all the latest apps and navigate through this, but mostly because I've had to teach it to others in order, you know, to further their business. But also I know carbon copy. I can I know the old school presses, and I have an assistant at work, and she's 25, and it's adorable. But I showed her a carbon copy order form for what she now does online. She looked at me like I had a unicorn horn, you know. She's like, "What is this?" And tell me everything. And so, I mean, we had a campfire chat about carbon copies. It was the funniest thing.
God.
She had no point of reference for what it was. Not how to use it, but no idea why black paper in between these colored copies was a thing. And I go, you know, you're
that's
copy
such
off.
An innovative idea, Dina.
Isn't
you can make a lot of money with that.
It's hilarious. And she sat there, and she's educated, UCLA grad, all that, smart girl, looked at me, and she's like, "Please tell me all about this thing. What's the pink copy for?" I go, you know, when you see everybody and reply all, this is it. "Well, how did it get across town?" I'm like, "We put it in a little plastic sleeve, and the inner office mail guy picked it up in a truck." What? Mind blown, right? We laughed all day because we realized that I'd been on the earth twice as long as she had, and I'd been doing this since she was a toddler. And
right.
Things
but
have changed, and I've just gone through the years with it.
Now, let me focus on what you just said for a second, because I love this concept. You said, "I've been on the earth twice as long as she had, and lots of things have changed." But, Dina, you know, and this is the thing, your parents, my parents, Jackie's parents, for them, even though their parents had been on the earth twice as long as they were at some point, things had not changed. Because things changed so slowly before. Now, things change within, you know, a decade. New things are being done in business and in commerce and, of course, in terms of money and currency and all that, that are sea changes. It's just the speed, the pace of change has
correct.
Picked
this has
up.
Been the fastest change, innovation, and, you know, just this whole entire digital age that we live in, good or bad. I mean, I look at it kind of two ways sometimes. But it's been the fastest growth ever recorded this last 10 years. It's just ridiculous. And
right.
Unfortunately, in order to survive and thrive as a business or just communicating in general, you have to jump on board. And one of the things that I teach, I do a couple of women business seminars. I do a lot of lunch and learn type scenarios for different organizations and chambers throughout. I'm actually going to be on Heidi Butzin's panel next week. And one of the things that my seminars is trying to let the older generation of advertisers, let's say, bridge the gap, that it's not so scary. And part of my spiel is, I use kind of comedy, but I use my mom as an example. And she was Mensa, valedictorian, total genius, egghead, all that, and, you know, very, very intelligent. And she's starting to slip a little as she's getting older. She doesn't have Alzheimer's or anything, but she's just, you know, she's getting older. And she was so savvy in so many things and so many different businesses growing up and raising us kids. And she was actually having me, this was 4 years ago, I want to say, three, four, she was having me print pictures, copy and save pictures from Facebook, social media, whatever, print them on photo paper, put a stamp on an envelope, and mail them to her in Palmdale so she could see her grandkids. So she could see her great-grandkids, okay? And I was doing this on a regular, and I was standing in line at Costco for the cartridge ink refill station, you know, where you go get your photos over there. And I was in line, and I was irritated because I needed to be someplace and the line was taking forever. And I had this epiphany that I realized that the only reason I ever bought ink cartridges or photo paper was to mail pictures of this woman's grandchildren across town. It made no sense. I realized I hadn't printed anything at home for home use in ages except for photos to send to her. And at that moment, I had a giant conversation with her. I called her, and I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing this anymore. You're going to get an email address. You're going to learn how to go online. You're going to learn how to print your own pictures of your own children. I can't do this. And she
you're
going to
buy
out.
Ink toner cartridges.
No, it wasn't even that. It's the time, too. The time standing in line, the time to print them, the time for the printer to warm up, the time for me to warm up my computer. I didn't even use that computer unless I was printing pictures for this woman. So, what my seminar is about, is me walking her through the stages of, nah, I don't need an email address. She was doing the mail it to Pops, he'll give it to me, or he'll show me on his computer. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing ever. So if I have a private conversation or something I want to share with you intimately, I have to send it to Pops in order for you to see it. What if I want to talk about him or his surprise birthday party? You're silly because you're smart enough to do this. And all it was the fear that she was going to screw it up or she could break it or she could do something wrong. And once we sat down, we had baby steps, and it actually popped up in my memories in Facebook the other day. It said something like, just taught Mom how to do Google Hangouts. Best chat I've ever had in my life. It's hysterical. And like one of the things she said was, oh, my God, I see your thing says you're typing. This is so cool. And what do the little dots mean?
Dina, you know, it's funny. You know, I experienced the exact same thing with my mother, only she's on the East Coast. But every Monday night for, 20 years, my sisters and my mom and I, we do a conference call every Monday night. Mm-hmm. And it was the same exact thing. My sisters and I would say, oh, I saw the pictures from your trip. It looked fabulous, you know, whether it was on Facebook or text message or email or whatever. And my mom would say, oh, that's nice. And my sister Christine would say, Ma, I'll print them and I'll send them to you.
Yep.
And she did that. But my mom would be seeing the pictures like a week or 10 days after we talked about it. You know, so two Mondays later, she'd say, oh, I got the pictures, Christine. Oh, it looks like a good time. We're like, well, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. We finally got her set up with her smartphone. Now, every day, you know, there are several group text messages with photographs, you know, and what's going on and blah, blah, blah. And,
In real time.
And she's 92, you know, so if she can do it, I would say that just about anybody else can.
Fear of the unknown that makes them think they can't do it. And what I told my mom, it sounds hard, it sounds difficult, you have to learn something else, you've got to write down passwords, that's fine. But once you get past this painful week of learning curve, your life's going to change because all the things that you've been doing the hard way are going to be so much easier to you once you just get past this little period of pain. And now I get way too many cat videos, way too many, you know, photos of ridiculous crap that she photographs, you know, and it's just seeing it, but she's enjoying life better because she can talk to, she FaceTimes with her grandkids.
She FaceTimes, right,
She's connected with her friends and on the East Coast and in the Midwest. It's amazing. Absolutely.
That is amazing. Now, Joe, we have to take a quick station break. And when we come back, I have a question I have to ask Dina.
Okay. A cliffhanger, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, a question will be asked. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking digital media first. Digital First Media, as a matter of fact, digitalfirstmedia.com with Dina Knight of the new way that you have to look at media and how to buy media and all of that. We're talking about all of that. We'd love to have your input. If you'd like to join us, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And I have to say, just briefly, this is it's always been a new world, but it's a much faster, much more impactful new world. 74% of the listens of our entire book of business, we have, over the 6 years, we have had 400,000 plus listeners. And currently, 74% of our listeners are from the United States. Not a surprise. 10% of our listeners are from the UK, from the United Kingdom. 10% of our listeners are from France. 2% of our listeners are from Taiwan. This is the world that we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Jackie?
Okay, Dina. Okay, so for anybody that's not in the media business, our groupthink is mostly from what we see on TV and in the movies, and there's a newsroom, and it's a big open space with dozens of desks, and guys are gals are running around, and they're on the phone, and they're going out to meet sources and stuff, and then of course you always see the printing room with the big printing presses and all that stuff. How does a newspaper, how does it function today? Do you still have a big newsroom, or is everybody working out of their houses now? How does printing get done? How do these things happen these days? Like, if somebody was to make a movie today about a breaking news story, how would it look today?
That's kind of funny. What was that movie with John Hurt with in the newsroom? What was the name of that? Anyway,
there were a couple of them. There was the one with the Watergate. I remember that. I mean, there was one more recently about. The one about the breaking story, the bishops in Boston or the priests in Boston.
Yeah.
That was,
with Michael Keaton.
Even that was a while ago.
No,
well, how
it doesn't look that's Hollywood glamour. It doesn't quite look like that. It's a bunch of normal South Bay people that you would meet at Trader Joe's. It's not like that at all. We have a big office space where we are, but we don't have as many people hustling and bustling and running around. Our resources are thinly spread these days. And the way it is, actually, I need to have you come and do a tour one day, Jackie. Just come to the office and let me know when you can come by. I'll walk you around.
I want to come.
You can come, Joe.
Okay.
Basically, we have most of the entire first floor of what used to be the Computex building right there on Hawthorne and Torrance. And we have a front office staff. It's a couple of ladies there that sell the paper, take the DBAs and that type of thing. Super friendly people, been there for years. And then inside, the office space is separated by a giant wall. They try to do the separation of church and state, and it's hard to explain this to customers. Can you do a story on me? It's not quite that way. The newsroom side has the big TVs on. They've got the AP going. They've got the police scanner going, to make sure they're on top of anything that's happening. And, there's several reporters, the editor, publisher, those people are on that side. And they're just collecting the data and news, writing stories, because we're also, our partners are also, I shouldn't say partners, we own the Beach Reporter as well as the PV News. And so those people are there as well, and they're just taking the stories and trying to find out what's most interesting and pressing and, thought-provoking at the time, and they're writing their stories to put online, and now that gets sent over to our Orange County Register where we print. Then on the other side of the same wall, so the suites are separated, and that's it's us crazy advertising people. And on our side, we're a little louder, a little more obnoxious probably, running around. And we come and go because we're outside and inside. We go to clients as well as clients come to us, as well as, communally within. We have a lot of fun. We've got a really good VP. I don't know if you've met Leslie Lindemann. She's a new VP, and she's been there just about 2 years, I believe. And she's just a breath of fresh air, and she's funny, and we have a great time doing a hard job. I mean, what we do is grueling. Right now I'm in the middle of South Bay's Best Magazine, and I'm there 10, 12 hours a day for the next 3 weeks. And so, she's there to lighten that up, and we have good camaraderie. And there's four or five of us that go out to accounts and talk to people. And then there's a giant group that stays in our real estate department. They handle any of the local realtors and any of the investment bankers and those type of people. Then there's a department that handles the automotive. We have our ad taxi specialists inside. They handle just digital purely, people who just have a giant digital campaign and they know who their audience is, they know who they're trying to reach, like the auto dealerships and such. And then we have our, I call them the digibots. We have this giant staff of really, really, really super young people that handle all of our trafficking for our digital. They take the orders in, process all the stuff. They understand all the nerd stuff that I don't get. I know how the end result is, but I don't know how it all works behind the scenes. They tie everything together. They handle the creatives. They talk to our clients. They, you know, they piece everything and make sure everything's happening. They're optimizing campaigns, making sure they're working properly, switching things around when they're not, letting us know when something's failed or something's, you know, falling out. And they're really, really super smart and really, really young. But it's kind of cool to see that. Like if you come to my desk has been there almost 10 years. I haven't moved. And there's papers everywhere. There's files. There's auxiliary file folders or file cabinets someplace else, and I've got boxes under my desk and paper everywhere. There's not a scrap of paper on these kids' desks. It's just funny to see the difference in where we come, because their first job was a digital job, and, you know, I'm, like, you know, pulling up file folders, and they don't know what that is. They just look at me really funny. But our side is, you know, it's always – coming, going, it's always different. And one thing that I can say my entire career that I like about what I do, the reason I love my job, is because every day is different. I have gone and sat with CEOs of hospitals and had giant board meetings, and the end of the day I'm picking up money from some tiny small, you know, mom and pop key shop or something, a restaurant, and they're paying me out of their kids' lunch money, you know. It's like, it's so diverse. And I'm all over the map, and we used to be territoried, and so I've pretty much handled Redondo Beach, San Pedro, and PV, and parts of Torrance for my whole, you know, time there. And just to drive that ocean coast and see, you know, Terranea is one of my largest accounts. I drive out there just to, oh, let me come deliver your newspaper for you. Like, oh, darn. You know, and then to come back and be in the trenches up and down Hawthorne. It, you know, it's just amazing to see all walks of life, all types of businesses. And then it gets to me when I go to a business that I've been going to for many, many years, and they're like, thank you, we're opening another location. You were our first, you know, place we advertised, and you helped us do this. And then my heart gets full. I'm like, oh, I did this. I helped, you know. And that's what it's about, is being in the community and seeing the community thrive. I don't like driving by and seeing open real estate and, you know, out of business. And so I want to help the community be strong, because I live in the community as well. I shop locally. I make sure I hit the farmer's market. I make sure I'm down in the village. You know, I make sure I stay, try to keep my dollars local as well, instead of going, you know, so big box. And so it's pretty cool.
Well, you know, it's funny. The way you described your offices, it sounds like what we think of as the traditional newsroom. It sounds like it's still a beehive of activity.
A beehive. That's exactly what it is. I'm taking that with me to work today. Beehive. Exactly. But
That's just a really old saying.
That's awesome. It works. No, we were talking a little bit before. This is our 26th year of South Bay's Best Magazine. It's our readers poll we do annually. And if you're not familiar, most people are, because I start getting calls months ago, have we started South Bay's Best yet? So what it is a glossy magazine, like a coffee table magazine, that basically is bragging rights for local businesses to say that they're the best in the South Bay. And we've been doing it forever. And we just did the polling May and June. And now we just received the list of the winners. All the votes have been tabulated. So it's a big, big secret until July 22nd. But we notify the winners on the down low and let them know, you know, that they've won. And then we offer them an opportunity to put a thank you ad in the publication. And then buy those big window stickers that you've seen all over town, like the big stars and ribbons that you see on people's windows. I was South Bay's Best 2015. Well, this is the 2017 announcement of the winners on July 22nd, so stand by for that. I know you've won one before, right, Jackie?
Okay, well, now that we have a bone to pick with you, Dina. We have a bone to pick with you. Yes,
not my fault.
Won.
Not my fault.
Another old expression.
Okay.
I know exactly where you're going.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Okay, well, in 2014, we won South Bay's Best Local Talk Radio Show. And in 2001, South Bay's Favorite local talk radio show. And last year there was no category for local talk radio show.
Let me explain, and let me explain to everyone out there who's upset about their categories being moved or changed. Here's what happened. We did a think tank between us that have to run around and deliver these, you know, awards and do the advertising and everything. And we had a lot of categories that were so outdated and dormant, and we had a lot, way too many categories for the number of people that we have to be able to do this whole thing. And we decided to shake it up and change and add and remove. Just overall, we just took votes at the table, and generally the ones that didn't have a lot of activity or people didn't care if they won. You cared, but your other counterparts didn't. And so we just kind of shifted things around, and also to reflect the times. We added things like Best Vape Store. Those are popping up everywhere. They weren't there when I first started at The Breeze. And so we just did that. But on the flip side, we did have some really cool things. For instance, Best City to Live In, Best Beach. Mm. So those are new things that got the public more engaged, and we got crazy votes for those things, and people really passionate about their communities. So I do apologize that your category was taken out this year. It may be back next year. I don't know. But one of the things
we'll take Best Podcast.
That's what I was going to say. You should probably have a category for Best Podcast.
And that
is awesome.
Because
there are quite a few podcasts, yeah.
Yeah, and so with that, that's an idea, but that's something that we take when we literally have giant think tanks when we do these things. It's not arbitrary. We actually sit down and discuss it amongst everybody. And one of the things we talked about after the fact was maybe having a write-in category this year. Put in a category, and maybe you tell your voters what to put in.
Right. Speaking of Best of the South Bay, I think one of the Best of the South Bay, certainly one of the best of the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau, and Visitors Bureau is Bobby Christian. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing great. I mean, I think I'm pretty great, too. So we're all in agreement tonight.
Bobby for president.
Bobby for president. And I'm sure Bobby knows more about foreign policy than our current president. But what I'd love for you to talk about, Bobby, is what's going on around town in Redondo Beach.
Well, we have some what I consider Best of the South Bay events going on in the next couple weeks here in Redondo Beach. I'm just going to list them out chronologically this week. We have the California 101 Art Show, It Takes a Village, going on through this Sunday. That's every day, now till Sunday. It's the annual art show presented by Friends of Redondo Beach Arts. Then next weekend, we have Oklahoma going to be playing at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. And then the week after that is the Riviera Village Summer Festival on Saturday and Sunday, June 24th and 25th. That's one of my favorite events of the year, so I'm super excited to see that come back this year. On the chamber side of things, tomorrow we have a network cafe at R10 Social House. It's a network cafe, so that is a afternoon event, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's what I call afternoon. Some people call that lunchtime. So lunchtime networking at its finest, $25 for members, $30 for non-members. And then, of course, one of the big events of the year for the Chamber is the Chamber of Commerce 110th Annual Installation and Community Banquet, taking place Friday, June 16th. So not this Friday, but next Friday. Doors open at 6 p.m., and there is a variety of food festivities, awards, and gambling going on late into the evening that night. If you'd like to make reservations for that, you can contact us at the Chamber. The cost is $75 a person, and that's what's going on Redondo Beach in the next couple weeks.
Great. Good, good, good. And, Bobby, how old are you, Bobby?
I'm 34.
Okay. That's close enough.
I have to think about that. I'm thinking about it that much. Yeah, sorry.
We're not holding you to that, but, you know, both Jackie and I have a year or two on you. And the key is this. When you think, Bobby, of newspapers versus Facebook versus Instagram versus you know, all of the other avenues of getting news, Twitter, of course. How do you look at the world? Do you see it differently, you think, than perhaps Jackie or Dina and I?
I don't know. I think we're all probably on the forward mindset with what's going on. There's definitely a place. I was looking last night all over the internet for the results from the Redondo Beach city council meeting last night, and so the first thing I did was go to the local newspapers. That's like the first thing I did, and so there's a place for that. There's a place for Twitter. There's a place for larger things. I think anything that serves a niche is still very relevant. Anything that gets too broad, like a USA Today, is kind of losing its relevance.
That's interesting. But you think of a newspaper, or you think of a name like the Daily Breeze, which isn't really an entity. The Daily Breeze is sort of a part of larger entities like the Southern California Media Group and things like that. But you think of that as the place to go.
Oh, totally. It's whoever's hungriest, right? The person who's hungriest to serve me up the local news is the place I'm going to go. I literally, last night, I was scouring the Daily Breeze for like hours trying to find any kind of tidbit I could.
Were you looking at it on the online version or the printed version?
It was 11 o'clock at night, so it was looking, I was looking on the online version.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. As far as actually getting a printed paper, it's hard. I mean, that's like I have to take that upon myself to find it. I always go digital for what I'm looking for.
That proves our point here, Joe.
Right. Yeah. It's now is the time for everyone that's listening to this show, either now, today, or, you know, within a few months to a year or whatever. It's time to get there, because otherwise your competitors are going to be there, and they're going to be found, and you will not be. And there's so many different businesses that say, what is the first thing they say to you, Dina, is probably, oh, well, I get all my business through referrals, right?
Exactly. Or we've been here forever. Everybody knows us. But they don't understand. Relevancy is key, and you want to not only be found, but you want to be found when someone's looking for you, especially services that are emergency services or that people have no loyalty to a brand. You've got to be found when they're looking. What's the first thing we all do? My granddaughter Googles. Hey, what's the – Google it. Automatically, you want to be found when people are looking for you. Also, stay branded for top-of-mind awareness. That hasn't changed in 100 years. You want to be relevant.
Right.
That hasn't changed. How we get there is different, but the need hasn't changed. You're trying to get people to ring your phone or walk into your business.
Right. Great. Bobby, do you have any other responses, tidbits for us in terms of digital media? How has that changed, do you think?
That's a huge, question. I guess one thing I say is I just got back from an international trip, and it was really, really hard for me to find. I was international, so Yelp and Google weren't the strongest at giving me local referrals. And so, yeah, it was all about where people were advertising locally online, what kind of space they were buying in local newspapers and digital on their digital platforms. Were the only way I could get referrals as to what was interesting, what was good.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go.
And that's one of the things we press as well, that now your dollars are spent more efficiently because we target exactly who you're looking for. If you're looking to hit women over 40 with a household income of 100,000 plus who have children who live within a 10-mile radius of 90277, I can target those people for you. And that's more important than, hey, maybe somebody might pick up the newspaper and hope that their ad's in there. You don't do that when you're looking for a good service anymore. You really don't. Those ads are meant for people who are taking the news daily as a resource for news and happen to see ads alongside their news. But for actual services that people are hunting for or comparing or sourcing, they're going online 90%
right.
of the time.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say, I think, Dina, you're 100%. I mean, it's a fact. You're right about that. And it kills me when people don't understand that. It kills me when people don't understand, the advanced targeting you can get these days and, how important that is and how it's a pay-to-play system. It just, you're completely right about that. And the people that aren't on board with that yet, they're so far behind.
It's an education thing. And like we said earlier in the show, there's a point where you have to walk away from the people that aren't going to accept the education, because they're like, they see it as a bill. They see it as, you know, money out, when in fact it's your best employee that you're paying for. They're guaranteed to bring customers, you know.
What Joe was saying earlier about he buys Facebook ads and he's found something that works for him. Very early on, I bought a couple of Facebook ads, and both times I had the same result, and I thought, okay, that doesn't work for me. I put out an ad, and I reached just over 20,000 people, but only like 6 clicked on.
And that's because you're doing it yourself.
Exactly.
When you have an agency like ours who actually knows what's going on, they understand the algorithms, they understand where to put you, and there's several layers of things that Facebook doesn't want you to be able to do. Trust me.
Yeah.
They want you to put more money in it. So we do it efficiently and make sure that those dollars are being spent in a very useful way where you're not wasting dollars. And
what? Facebook doesn't care about me?
Facebook doesn't
want me to spend the least amount of money?
No, at all. And that's the thing, and I talk about this in my seminar, is that Facebook, when we first got Facebook, they took all of our information, our data, and everything, and we were willing to give it to them without a problem. Where you went to school, what you like, who are your friends, what's your orientations for all kinds of things, your affiliations, your whatever. All the things that make up you, how old you are, all those things, you put them in. Willfully, you gave this information because we were so excited about this whole social media, and you could reach your friends from back east, and you could get recipes, and you could do chat groups. And we got excited, and we put all that information in. They took all that information, compiled it, and now they're selling it against us. They're using that information that we willingly gave them 9 years ago, you know? And so we have to be better at understanding that they're a business as well. And if you're going to use them, which is huge, I mean, social media is the biggest thing there is right now, but you have to go with the partner who knows what's happening or knows what's going on behind the scenes for you and working for you. Instead of you spending your entire day on social media instead of doing the business that you opened up for, I see people, business owners online and doing all this. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not making pizzas. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm seeing how many people clicked on us. I'm like, well, that's not efficient use of your time, is it?
She speaks the truth. Joe, we got to wrap it up.
Bobby.
Can I say one thing, please. Everything you're saying, but you have to spend this money. You have to spend this money on advertising. Like, this is something that no business can do without anymore. This organic idea doesn't really exist. You have to spend money. So everything she's saying, completely true, and you have to do it if you're a business these days. That's it.
Very well said, but then, of course, Bobby, it's always been true, even in the era when radio and print were strong, or maybe even the only avenue before digital media. You had to spend money to advertise. Some businesses didn't, and they suffered, right? But you always have had to do this. Nothing's changed in that regard in terms of you have to have an average budget. And here we go. Thank you so much, Bobby Christian from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And, of course, Dina Knight. We are excited about what the Daily Breeze, as a part of the larger Southern California Media Group and digitalfirstmedia.com. We're excited about what you guys are bringing to the South Bay and to business owners, a one-stop shop. Can you give us some contact information real quick, Dina?
I sure can. Let me just, small correction there, Southern California News Group, if you're looking us up.
Yes.
I think it's SoCalNewsGroup.com is our website for that. I'm at the Daily Breeze building at 21250 Hawthorne Boulevard, Suite 170 in Torrance. You can reach me at my office at 310-543-6644, and it's dina.knight at dailybreeze.com. I'm sorry, at scng.com. DeenaKnight@scng.com. And I'm trying to reach a lot of you South-based best winners who aren't returning my calls, so this is a good platform for that as well. Give me a call and see if you've won. And I really appreciate you guys having me on the show today. It's awesome.
Thank you. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
See
you
on
the show,
trend,
ladies
Jackie.
And gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joe. Bye.